Blog Talk Radio.
We are the Borg. Lower your shield and surrender your ships. We will add your biological and technological distinctiveness to our own. Your culture will adapt to service us. Resistance is futile.
Hey, welcome to Trek Talking with Jim and Dan. We have a great show planned for you guys tonight. We're going to talk about the USS Stargazer, the OP kit prize pack for the third month. We're also going to talk about the Assimilated Enterprise D, or the Alternate Enterprise. We're going to go over each and every one of those cards in great detail. We're going to read every card and go over them. And then for our final hour, we're going to discuss Star Trek II, The Wrath of Khan. For anybody that's listening, we are having technical difficulties with the chat room. The Blog Talk server is temporarily unavailable or too busy. So I'm going to continue to try to log on to that. So I apologize for any inconvenience this may cause. I know we usually have quite a few of you in the chat room. I'll keep trying, and as soon as I can get that to connect, I'll let you guys know. As of right now, there is no chat. I'm trying it again right now. Still too busy. So we're going to continue as the show goes on, and as soon as I can get that up, I'll let you guys know. A couple of record-keeping things to take care of before we jump into the show. The winner of the USS Stargazer OP prize kit, now forgive me if I butcher this name, but the name is Bass Jelsma, B-A-S, J-E-L-S-M-A, Bass Jelsma. You are the winner of the USS Stargazer. I'll be posting that on the Facebook page. In case I butchered your name too bad, you can just shoot us a message and let me know how bad I butchered it. But congratulations to Bass. You have won the USS Stargazer prize kit. Now, for those of you who are not aware, if you've noticed some of the pictures that have been put on our Facebook page recently, well, most recently today by Matt Dobson. Matt Dobson won last week, and all he had to do was call in and talk with us, and he got the Gorn OP prize kit. It's not just the ship, people. It's everything. You get the ship. You get all the map elements. You get all of the participation prizes. You get a Deep Space Nine and a few other things that I might want to throw in there for you. So you're getting a really nice prize pack, and that's the same prize pack, by the way, that you win when we have our raffles. You're not just bidding on. You get everything, not just the ship. So if you go to eBay, you're just going to get the ship. If you come to Trek Talking, you're going to get everything. Also, there seems to be a little bit more confusion about Dan and I working for WizKids. I say this over and over. Dan says this over and over, and we got to keep saying it over and over. And I think that's a good thing because that means we're getting a lot of new fans that aren't aware of this. So if you've heard this before, just look out the window or do something for a second while I say this again. Dan and I do not work for WizKids. We are not associated with WizKids in any way, shape, or form. We get nothing from WizKids. We're just fans like you guys. And all the money that we raise on these raffles, we have to pay for the kits. We have to pay for the shipping, which is international. Last week, a guy from Germany won the USS Jaeger. We have to buy the packing and the shipping materials, and we also have to pay for this show. So all of that costs money, and the money that we generate from these raffles is what we use to keep this thing going so that we can buy another OP kit so that we can give you guys another ship. So hopefully I won't have to say that again, but end of story, I'll step off my soapbox. Before we get started with the Stargazer and the Mirror Universe Enterprise, or I guess they call it the Assimilated Prime Enterprise, there's one more announcement I have to make. Dan and I had a discussion, and we have decided that since I have technically only played in two OP events, and that was OP1 and OP2, of the Dominion Wars, because I live way up in the sticks of Vermont, and there ain't nothing up here, and Dan is a casual player. We're not experts in the game. And so we're looking for somebody that plays in a lot of these OP events, that can answer a lot of these questions for the fans, and they can come on and want us to do a one-hour segment on this show about Star Trek Attack Wing. You know, we want to talk about the ships, we want to talk about the cards, we want to talk about tactics, card combos, that type of thing. So if anybody's interested, message Dan or myself on the board, and we'll set up an interview and we'll see how it goes from there. In the meantime, though, our good friend Delta Fire Angel,
Angel Fire,
who does State of the Federation, has agreed to come on and give us a hand until we fill that job. So just message us on the Facebook page if you're interested, and we'll take it from there. So that's all the housekeeping news that I have for tonight. Wait a minute. I'm sorry. You're right, Dan. You're right. There is another topic, but I've talked enough, and you guys are probably sick of hearing me. So I will let Dan get on the mic here for a little bit and fill you guys in. Take it away, Dan.
Well, maybe something popped up in your mind that I forgot about. What I was going to say is we should give a few minutes to talk about the things we're going to be doing in the next couple of months to get the appetites of our fans kind of getting hungry. What we're looking at is we are going to get OP kits for the next 2 months, and we are going to get, right now, we have scheduled to get the new blind boosters for the next OP event, which is the October, November, December OP event. So for those of you who are unable to go to every OP event or no OP event at all, we're going to go ahead and look. We're going to get those available, and we're going to put those blind boosters into our raffle bag for our late month raffle tickets, the grab bag raffles that we do at the end of the month. However, if you want to get those, get the ones that come out that are special, you want to get in early, because the same things we're putting in there is also going to be our call-in awards. So as our call-in awards go out every month, the grab bag raffle or raffle bag will decrease once a week. So if you want those good ships, get into the raffle early in the month. Every month we will be getting a blind booster pack. So that means every month we'll regenerate another 10 ships. But again, these same ships are going to be used for our call-in awards, too, for people who participate in the show. So if you want the good ones, get in early.
I apologize, I still cannot get the chat room to work. I'm trying, people. But Blog Talk Radio is apparently having some technical difficulties, and the chat room is still not open, so I apologize. There is one more thing that Dan and I had talked about, and this was the raffles. Starting with this assimilated prime. Why don't you fill them in, Dan? I talk a lot. Why don't people want to hear your voice?
Well, what we're going to do is to reassure the fans that buy into it, we're going to start having limitations on the amount of tickets we're going to do for each one. Now, it's not to say we have exceeded those ticket numbers before. What we're saying is we want to let everybody know that we're going to go ahead and give a limitation, so you know if you buy in, you should roughly know what your odds are when you purchase in. And remember, we're going to have a target point, and I'll explain why we say target point, okay? So for prize ships, such as the Target Prime that we have, major OP award ships or award items, such as the Target Prime, we're going to limit those to 40 a raffle. Now, I say we're going to try to limit it because here's the deal. Let's say that we have 35 tickets sold, and overnight, because people pay in internationally, so me and Jim are only an hour apart, so we're both racked out. And the next day, or that night, I'm sorry, that night, six or seven people bought into it, okay? When we wake up in the morning, we don't want to turn them away because just for the fact that they want their chances, everybody else does. But what we will do is once we notice the point where it's at 40 or exceeds 40, meaning 42, 43, we're going to go ahead and announce that it's closed, and we're going to go ahead and start refunding people that come in after that announcement, okay? And then we'll put out the names. For our OP ships, okay, so that's the monthly OP ships, not the award point, award ships. Specifically, we're talking about like the Stargazer, and last month it was the Raven. We're going to limit those, again, target limit, at 30. And the same applies. If it goes overnight and somebody puts in an extra one or two and it comes up 33, we're not going to turn them away, but we will stop at that point once we know that it's at 30 or over 30. And then finally, for our grab bag raffles, which are usually our end-of-month raffles, okay, we're going to limit those to 20. Again, targeted for 20. So if we wake up the next morning and it's 22, then it's 22, but we will put the names out. So we will post that the raffle is closed, and then we will post the names of the people who are in the raffle to close it out, to let everybody know that, okay, raffles aren't being accepted anymore. Raffle tickets for this one is not being accepted anymore. Now, once we close out on Thursday, okay, after the show, we'll reopen, and it'll start all over. So rule of thumb is if you want to be in the raffle, get in early, because we may not know. We can plan, such as the Target Prime ship we know is going to be pretty well, do pretty well, hopefully. You know, we're doing pretty good already. If you want that ship, come in early, because we may go to sleep one night and have 10 tickets and wake up with 40 tickets and it's closed, and we apologize for that, but we want everybody to know that you're going to have decent odds, because ultimately, again, the money we spend or the money we collect here is what puts more OPs into your pocket or into your availability. More blind boosters is in your availability. More ward ships is in your availability. Gives us the ability to do the show, because I think a lot of people were under the false impression that we just sell out. We sell tickets till we're blue in the face, and we're getting 150 people buying in, and that's absolutely not true. We have almost 2,700 people, but you'll realize that there's several of you that are repeat purchasers, and we really appreciate it. There's a core group that buy the tickets. I'd say we have a core group. What do you think, Jim? About 40 or 50, 60 people that are a core group?
Yeah, that's on the high end, I would say. I would say about 20 that I can count on regularly.
Okay. Well, we only have a certain amount of people that buy in regularly, okay? And there's times, last month and a half, we've had several raffles that didn't make the numbers that we're laying down now, okay? And I talked to them, and I thought maybe it was because some of the listeners or some of the people that participate on the website think they don't have a high chance. So we're just putting it out now that, no, we don't sell hundreds of tickets. We barely sell 30 sometimes. Well, a couple times we've only sold 17, okay? So we're putting you guys out there to give you a little comfort that you're going to have decent odds. So you're not under the impression that you're only going to be one of 100. In most cases, if everybody doubles up tickets on a 40 raffle tickets, you're one of 20. So we're putting that out for you.
Yeah, and let's not forget too that fans like Matthew Dobson and Camille Kazul, who lives in Germany, who won last week, won for free, just for calling the show. So, you know, we have to pay for that OP kit, and we have to pay for that shipping. So, you know, the money's being put to good use. And, you know, that's all I want to say about that. And I still cannot get the chat room to open, guys. I apologize. Blog Talk Radio is having some difficulties. I'm still trying. That makes me sad, because I was hoping Delta would be in the chat room or, you know, some of our regulars that could fill us in, but I'm not having any luck.
So, if he's listening, he can call.
Yeah, that's right. You can call. The phone number is 646-668-2433. I'll say that again. The phone number is 646-668-2433. If you're listening in the chat room, or if you're trying to listen in the chat room, which is non-existent right now, you can give us a call. Dan and I are also trying to get Skype to work. We tried to Skype a practice show the other night, and it didn't go over too well. We're still trying to work that out, so stick with us. We're relatively new with this thing. So that's enough. I'm going to step down off the soapbox. I think you guys get the point. We're not stealing your money. We're using it and reinvesting it to get more stuff for you guys and to keep the show going. And you may notice that the Facebook numbers are going off the scale because I'm boosting the page, which also costs money. So enough money talk. Let's get down to some good stuff. Last week, we had a question about the Mirror Universe faction, in this case, the Assimilated Target Prime, which is the Enterprise D. The Enterprise D alternate universe comes from a new faction, the Mirror Universe faction. On the Mirror Universe faction is the symbol of the Terran Empire, which is a globe with a sword through it. It's kind of a red color. That is a faction unto itself. All cards that have that symbol fall under that faction. And here's what it says on the card. Faction, Mirror Universe. The Mirror Universe faction consists of anything that exists in any universe other than the Prime Universe, i.e. Parallel Universe, Quantum Universe, etc. See page 18 of the Rule of Play for Mirror Universe faction initiative rules. If I remember correctly, Mirror Universe faction is the last faction at the bottom, so they get the last initiative. The Mirror Universe unique icon is yellow with a black star, which is just the opposite of what we have for the standard game. It makes sense. It's the alternate universe. This icon is used on any card in the Mirror Universe faction. The rules for unique names are on page 21 of the rule book. They also apply to Mirror Universe cards with the following exceptions. Okay? Though you cannot have two unique Mirror Universe cards with the same name in your fleet, you may have one unique card from the Prime Universe and one unique card from the Mirror Universe of the same unique name. Example, you may have two Worf cards in your fleet. As long as one of them has a gold circle with a black star and the other one has a black circle with a gold star. Okay, so what this means is you can have two Rikers, you can have two Worfs, you can have two Picards. Any one of the alternate universe cards that comes out, you can have both of those cards on the table at the same time. I'm assuming that this also applies to ships. So you could have the alternate Enterprise D, and you could have the regular Enterprise D, both on the board at the same time in your fleet, both being captained by Captain Picard. Although one would be an alternate universe Picard, and the other one would be the regular Picard. But as long as the cards have the yellow circle with the black star or the black circle with the yellow star, you can use them both in your fleet. What makes this interesting, and Dan and I talked about this last week, is Klingons, Cardassians, Vulcans. When these alternate universe cards come out, you will be able to build an alternate universe fleet using all the factions without paying a faction penalty because they're all alternate universe. Right, Dan?
That's the impression we get from what we read so far, whether they change that or not in the future, just because I look at it this way. Right now we have an idea what alternate faction or mirror universe cards are coming right now, but if the game keeps going and they keep adding waves and stuff where as long as it makes money they're going to, they may change it because when you start talking about putting out 10 or 12 mirror universe cards, they could change that. Hence the reason I think down in the bottom right now they do have the Terran Federation icon now. So I wonder later on they might change that where they say, okay, now it's Terran Federation and whatever Romulans alternate and whatever, they might separate them then later on when they get more ships. But right now it looks like all mirror universe cards are cross-usable on the ship.
And as we speak right now, there is the Enterprise D, which is the prize ship that we're raffling off this week. They have the alternate universe Defiant coming out. They have the ISS Enterprise coming out. They have the ISS Avenger, which is the NX-01 from the alternate universe. And they also have the Regency 1, which was Worf's Negvar ship from the alternate universe. So they have a few alternate universe ships planned. all of them are Federation ships except for the Regency One. So we'll have to see what else they do and then what direction they take that in.
Right. But
as it stands right now, the only ship that would be cross-faction at this point would be the Regency One, because all the other ships are Federation ships.
Right, they're a Terran, yeah. They're Terran.
So,
remember, Terran.
Now, there is another topic that we wanted to talk about, something that Dan found out in regards to the ships, something we forgot to mention.
Oh, yeah.
I'll let you explain that, Dan, because I was a little bit confused when you were explaining it to me.
Okay, so we had a fan contact me about he was having issues finding Birds of Prey and the Borg Sphere. And a couple weeks ago, I worked in the game shop, because I work on Fridays in the game shop that I also purchased my stuff from. And I remembered them being, or those ships being there. So I said, yeah, I'll go into my game shop and get those off the shelf for you. So I go in, and happenstance is it sold over the last time I was there, which I think was 2 weeks ago. So I went and talked to the game shop owner, who I have a decent working relationship with, and he looked up outside in the warehouses and where he gets stuff. Now, this is four warehouses he pulls from, okay? And none of the warehouses have Birds of Prey, and none of the warehouses have Borg Spheres. So that means all the stock's out. And I asked him, so when do you think they will release a new... A new stock. In other words, when do you think they will print new ones to put into stock? And he told me with WizKids, what happens is they get a wave. Let's say in this case we have the wave coming out with NX-01. So all this month, maybe a week or two in next month, the press that they use to make these ships, just spit them out. Just continuously spit them out, spit them out, spit them out, spit them out, spit them out. You know, for quite a bit. And then they take all the extras they make that weren't pre-ordered from the game shops and put them in warehouses. So the next wave, let's say the Winter Enterprise E next week or next month comes out, they use the same presses that made the NX-01 this month. They reprogram it and make Enterprise E's next month. So the deal is, as the waves go on, these presses are being reprogrammed every month. They are not printing older ships. So once the stock, say, for the NX-01 runs out from this month's print, we may not see another printing of it, maybe ever. And we said WizKids is notorious for this, because in their other games, a lot of their games are closed bag. In other words, what it means is when you buy the box, you don't know what's inside of it because it's hero clicks. But because we have what we call open box or clear box or see-through, we purchase the ones we prefer. So if everybody buys the Voyager isn't currently in repressing. So once the Voyager stock runs out, we may never see a Voyager reprinted to refill stock. They may just go down the waves, and then when the game stops, whatever's printed is printed, and nothing else happens. So even our retail ships are going to start becoming rare things. So with that note, and this is one of the reasons we're looking for a third person, is we would like a person who goes to these competitions more often and see ships that are preferred and have a better idea of the strategies that would work with other ships. Help us decide what ships we'll purchase for retail to put in our grab bag raffles, because we want to grab some of these ships before the stock is gone, and then turn around and be in a situation where we are now, where I can't help one of our fans get something they're looking for because they don't print it anymore. Now, Bird of Prey, heads up. Remember, Chang's Bird of Prey is coming, so there will be more Bird of Preys coming. But it doesn't mean it will be other Birds of Prey. It may be just Chang's Bird of Prey they're printing. And once it's gone, Birds of Prey are done for until further notice.
Yeah, so Dan and I are working on getting the Enterprise E, the Sovereign class, and the NX-01. And what was the other one we were going to try to get?
I think I think we were talking about the four ships that, off the top of my head, we were going to probably look at getting. Is number one is some extra Enterprise E's. Number two, we're looking at probably a couple extra birds of prey for the Chang's bird of prey. We're looking at maybe getting a couple of scimitars and maybe a couple ISS Defiants. And then, like I said, if we have the money, we will think about some other ones that some of our regular some of our regular tournament employee or tournament participants have a thought of, and that's why we're looking for our third person too.
Yeah, so basically what this means for you guys is that when we have a grab bag raffle, you can pick the Enterprise E, you can pick a blind booster, you could get the Raven, you could get whatever ships we have left at the end of the month. So if you, for instance, if you live overseas and you cannot find an Enterprise E, for instance, and you really want the Enterprise E, and you win the raffle, you can pick that as your grab bag ship.
Yep.
For that,
and
for
one,
that raffle.
One caveat, if you win the grab bag raffle, okay, we will allow you to pick the blind booster, because we'll have them marked what the blind boosters are, okay? But if you win it in a call-in, or in other words, you call in and support the show, you're probably going to get a random. So just know the difference, because I don't want people to think if you pay the raffle ticket and then you choose a blind booster, you just get a random one. We're going to have them marked for us to be able to see which ones they are, and we'll list them out when the time comes. But a grab bag raffle will get to choose a blind booster. A call-in to participate in the show will have to be random, and that's just to keep – I think that's fair, because free versus pay-in, I think having the person pay-in be able to choose would be a better mechanic. Do you agree?
Yes, and last week when Camille called in from Germany, he'd been hanging on the Facebook page with us for quite a while. He was a regular visitor in our chat room. And being from overseas, I decided that he really wanted the USS Jaeger. And since he paid that long-distance call to call us and hung around chatting with us for a little while, I made the decision to give him the USS Jaeger. That will not happen normally. If you call the show and you get a blind booster, I reach in the box, pull one out, and send it to you. No one knows what it is till you get it. But if you win the grab bag raffle and you tell me, well, I want the USS Jaeger, if I have a USS Jaeger left, I will send it to you. If I don't, then I'll get back to you and say, well, I don't have any Jaegers. Is there another blind booster that you'd rather have? And
that's or something the way else out of the grab bag. Yeah.
Right, or something else.
Or something else
out
of the grab bag.
Right. We will tell you, if you win the grab bag, I will send you a list of what we have available for you to choose from. Let's put it that way. So you'll know. And you're not just getting the ship. I'm still trying to get the chat room open, guys. I'm sorry. It's still not connecting. The phone number to call us is 646-668-2433, and if you call me right now, I will reach into that grab bag box and you will win a blind booster. How's that? You call me right now at 646-668-2433 and you just won a blind booster. Let's see who's listening. Let's see who calls. So that's what we're going to do with that. So let's talked about the alternate universe faction. Now let's talk about some of the cards that come in the simulated target prime. I've got a couple of the cards on my screen that I scanned in, and then Dan will have to cover the Stargazer and the Borg upgrades that go along with it, because I don't have those. So I will start with the USS Enterprise D, the alternate universe Enterprise. Now, this would be the Enterprise that battled the Klingons in yesterday's Enterprise. And that's why this ship, although the model is the ship that Riker was on with the funky hairdo when he yelled, "We won't go back!" So, you know, take that for what it's worth. But the USS Enterprise D Galaxy class, it has the Terran Empire symbol on it, which is being used as a Mirror Universe symbol. It has a gold circle with a black star. It has a 5 attack, 1 agility, 5 hull, and 3 shields. It's 28 points. It has 2 crew upgrades and 3 weapon upgrades. In the action bar, it has a scan, a battle stations, a target lock, and an evade. And the special ability is, during the roll attack dice step of the combat phase, you may disable one of your active shields to gain a +1 attack die. So that puts that means the Enterprise D would then have 6 attack dice. That's a pretty hefty attack for a Federation ship.
Yeah, I think that's the highest number we got without dice without a dice modification at this point.
Yeah, this is a nice ship. And while we're talking about the ship, let me go up here and take a look at the. I'm still trying to get in the chat room, guys. I'm sorry here, it's not working. Let's take a look at the Galaxy class movement chart for this particular ship. This particular ship has a red one in reverse. A green 1, 2, and 3 forward,
mm-hmm.
White 4 and 5 forward, and a 6 red forward. So this baby has the potential of moving 12 spaces across the board. That's incredible. And, you know, if you turn around and use an Incha or any other card that would allow you to make an extra movement, you could theoretically, you know, run right up on your partner, on your opponent, and get the alpha strike right off the bat.
This is
a pretty fast ship. Like the Enterprise D, it's not very maneuverable.
I think it's actually less maneuverable than the standard Enterprise D.
Yeah, I don't have the standard Enterprise D movement chart in front of me, but it does have a 1 green bank, a 2 white bank, a 3 white bank, and a 3 red sharp turn. And that's it.
Yeah.
So it's not very maneuverable at all. But it does, however, have a forward and an aft firing arc. And we have a caller on the line with us right now. Let's see who we have.
Hello.
Hello, you're talking to Trek Talk. Who do I have with us?
Hi, my name's Andy. I'm from the UK.
Hi, how you doing tonight?
I'm really good. How are you?
I'm great. I apologize for the chat room not being open. I'm really trying hard to get that connected, but I'm not having any luck.
Oh, no, don't worry about it.
Blog Talk Radio... .com is not responding and is temporarily unavailable. So because you're our lucky caller, I'm going to reach into the box right now, and
okay.
I'm going to pull out a blind booster, and I have it in my hand.
Yeah.
Do you want me to tell you what it is, or do you want to be surprised when it comes in the mail?
Go on. Tell me what it is.
Okay, let me open it up here. And you will be receiving... the Romulan Bird of Prey, Vortavor.
Oh, amazing. That's, like, literally exactly what I wanted.
That's an awesome ship. And one of the things that makes that ship so awesome, well, there's two things. The female Romulan commander who finally has a name and a captain card instead of being generic.
Yeah.
And the best thing is the Romulan cloaking device that comes in that particular ship.
Yeah, I've only just started playing Attack Wing, and I'm trying to put together a Romulan fleet, and the advanced cloaking card is something that I'm desperately after. So getting that is pretty much exactly what I wanted. I'm trying to get involved
card,
in the OP events, but it's quite difficult to find them around here. But I'm still looking, I'm trying to get a fleet ready for it, you know.
But this particular card, I'm going to open this up and read this particular card. Because it's a pretty good one. It's better than the Klingon version, I believe.
Yeah, that was.
The Klingon version, the advanced weapons for the Klingon, You have to disable it.
Yeah.
But this one,
right.
Here it is. This one here, advanced cloaking, it's a tech upgrade. It costs 4 points. It says when attacking while you are cloaked, if there are no auxiliary power tokens beside your ship, you may place an auxiliary power token beside your ship before rolling any dice to keep your cloak token from flipping over. So you don't have to disable your cloak.
Yeah, that
fire one, while cloaked.
That's amazing. I mean, you could put that on one of the on like the Derridex, which is the if you initiate an attack while you cloak, you add plus one attack dice.
Yep,
and this is not
pretty ruthless.
This is not a unique card either.
Yeah, that one's amazing.
So you can use as many of these cards as you can get your hands on.
Unbelievable.
So I think that, in my opinion, I think that card is the one that makes this pack worthwhile.
Absolutely. I agree 100%.
And you just won it, my friend. Congratulations.
Hey, thank you very much.
Not a problem.
Now, go on to our Facebook page and shoot me a message with your address, and we'll be getting that out to you along with some other prizes. You don't just get the ship. We have a bunch of other stuff that you'll be getting with that as our way of saying thank you for listening.
No worries. Thank you very much.
Now, how long have you been playing Attack Wing? You said you just started?
Yeah, I mean, we got the me and my missus, we got the starter box maybe like 2-3 months ago. But we've kind of like had a passing sort of interest in Star Trek, but for some reason we've just kind of jumped feet first into the universes now, and we're kind of obsessing over Deep Space Nine and Voyager. So we're kind of going full steam ahead into it, really, I guess.
And how do you guys enjoy playing the game? What's your feelings on it?
Yeah, we love it pretty much. I mean, we're only playing it casually between the two of us at the minute, but we're trying to find more of the OP events local to us. But it's quite difficult. It doesn't seem to be enormously well supported in the UK, but there are places doing it.
Now, you said that you like to play the Romulans. What does your buddy like to play?
Dominion. She kind of likes Dominion or Borg, really. But yeah, like I said about the sort of support over here, it seems to be that all the local gaming stores have got multiple stocks of the Tiny Enterprise and nothing else. So we're just kind of like trying to grab the Dominion stuff as and when we can find it.
Well, I'll tell you what I'm going to do for you. Since you won the Vortavore for your Romulan fleet, you can tell your buddy to look forward to getting a set of Hideki Dominion fighters for his fleet. How does that sound?
Oh, my God, that's amazing.
I think I have one Hideki fighter set left. When I pull out the prize box, I'll know for sure, but I think I saw one in there, and I will send that along with the Vortavor so that your buddy has a fighter to play against you when you pull out the Vortavor. How's that sound?
That's absolutely amazing. Thank you very
much. Just for calling the show. Could it be any easier?
Not at all.
Now,
thank
you so
much for the call.
How long have you been listening to our broadcasts?
This is literally the first time.
The first time?
Yeah, we've
and you
we've
won.
Not only, you know, yeah, I know. I'm over the moon.
Wow. And how long have you been following us on Facebook?
I think I started following you maybe about 2 weeks ago.
Wow. And you called in and won that quick.
Yeah, you got to give it a try, haven't you?
Everybody listening, I hope you're hearing this story. I'm not making this up. This is true.
The two things you've just offered us as well, they're literally exactly what we've been after.
That's good. We actually have a big following in the UK.
That's great.
Next to the United States, the UK is our next biggest follower on our Facebook page and on our broadcast, so it doesn't surprise me at all.
That's amazing.
So you and your buddy will look forward to a nice prize pack to show up in the mail, make your games a little more interesting. What do you think about the Facebook page?
I think it's really good. You've got like a good sort of setup there. You know, you're responding to the members on the Facebook page really often and stuff. It's really good.
Yeah, Dan and I try to keep it fresh. We try to keep it new. We try to keep as much information flowing to you guys as we can. Obviously, there's nothing really new in the Star Trek Attack Wing world, so, you know, we'll try to have some other stuff on there as we can find it. But yeah, if there's anything that you're looking for, don't hesitate to shoot us a message, and we'll see if we can find it for you.
Absolutely. Thank you very much.
You know, that's what we're here for, and I really appreciate you calling and listening and supporting us. And you have anything you want to say, Dan?
No. Yeah, congratulations. Yeah, if you guys need something, if you're will, I do this for all the fans. If there's something you're looking for, I'll take a look. If you're willing to pay for the shipping, which, of course, for you guys it's a little difficult, but if you really can't find it, what's a couple of bucks for something you want? I'll if we got it, I'll get it out to you. Just let me know.
That's amazing. Really good.
Yeah, and just, you know, pass us along to your friends. Get them on the Facebook page and have them tune in. Now, normally I have the chat room running. Let me try it again. Normally I have the chat room up and running, so you can hang out and chat and talk with the other fans, but it's still not,
and,
it's still down.
And not have to pay international phone charges.
Yeah.
Sorry, say again. Yeah, well, I mean, I was hoping to get you guys on Skype, but, yeah, that's not working, and the chat room wasn't working, so I thought, you know, I'll just give you a call.
Yeah, we're working on that. We're working on that, and I'll let you go so that you don't run up a phone bill.
Yeah.
You know, normally, you know.
I'm getting scared
and,
right
don't
now.
Forget to send me your address so we can get this stuff out to you, and I'll send out the fighters for your buddy, and you got the Vor Tavor, and congratulations, and thank you for calling, and thank you for your support.
No worries. Thank you very much, guys. Bye-bye.
Thanks. Yep. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Well, that was awesome, Dan.
Well, out of 3 weeks, let's see. Matthew Dobson was from Canada, right?
Yep.
Yeah, he's Canadian.
Yep.
And last week's winner was from Germany. This week's winner's from UK. How come we ain't got no Americans calling us since they're on the same time zone?
I don't get that.
Yeah, that nice gentleman. Let's see, what time is it here for you? It's what,
quarter after
o'clock?
7 for me.
Yeah, so that means it's like a quarter after, what, 10, 11 there, I think? If he's GMT, it's like 4 hours.
And this is why we try to keep the earlier time frame for the show. It seems to be working out.
Yeah, I mean, all of them have been out of the country calls. So, yeah, we're going to definitely stick to this time, give them a shot. If they're willing to support us, we're willing to support them. That's what I say.
And you know what I think is awesome about that, Dan? I can see on the black box, it does say Vor. I probably could have read that if I looked underneath the light. You did write on the box what it is.
It was a black marker, so...
Yeah, I didn't see it. But what I think is great is that he called up and he runs the Romulans and he wanted the Vor Tavor, and I reached into the box and I just pulled it out for him. That is awesome.
he must have strong Jedi powers. Oh, wait, that's a different canon. Sorry.
Yeah, that's just awesome. I think that's great. And I do have a set of Hideki fighters, which I will send for his Dominion friend, and that should make them both happy. That's awesome.
He said it was his sister.
So, anyways, let's congratulations, and let's get back to the Enterprise. So the Enterprise D, the alternate universe Enterprise D, the other card that I have in front of me is called Fire All Weapons. And now this card is from, it looks like the Q-Who episode where the Borg captured the Enterprise in a Borg tractor beam, and they fired all the phasers and torpedoes at once. This particular card is a weapon slot. It's a alternate universe card for 7 points. It does 5 damage at a range of 2, your 5 attack dice at a range of 2 to 3. And the card says, attack target lock. Spend your target lock and disable this card to perform this attack. You may fire this weapon from your forward or rear firing arcs. You may immediately make 1 additional attack with your primary weapon at a different enemy ship if possible. This upgrade costs 5 points for any ship other than a Galaxy class, Intrepid, or Sovereign class.
Ooh, I missed that text. Let's talk about that, Dan.
Does that mean that we are going to see an alternate universe Intrepid and an alternate universe Sovereign class?
If I was a That's hard to say because we've seen up to wave 14 and we don't see that. Now we go back to, does that not mean beyond wave 14 it couldn't happen? Yes, of course it could. But I don't want to say it might happen because who knows what WizKids is thinking. What I think it does say is for non-tournament home use where you're playing with your buddies, that definitely means that you can put that for home use on the Galaxy Intrepid Sovereign. But I'm thinking because it's Terran, you're probably still going to have to pay a faction penalty because it's Terran. But still, 8 points. And if you put it on the Intrepid's 360 is still a primary fire. So you can use this in your forward or aft arc and then still fire your 360 shot if it says you can do a primary attack afterwards. Oh. Now I need to go put in a. Now I need to go put in a ticket. Oh, geez.
Yeah, it does. Yeah, it says you may immediately make one additional attack with your primary weapon at a different enemy ship.
Yep. So that means the Galaxy, the standard D and the Intrepid's 360 shot would still apply for this. And then I'm really itching to see the cards for the Sovereign class.
Yeah, this is an awesome upgrade right here. This is a really
pricey.
I think this is better than the Klingon Barrage of Fire.
And you do notice it's a disable. That is not a discard. That is a disable. So that means you can
exactly.
Do it again. Oh,
if you have somebody on your ship like Phlox or one of the cards, yeah, I think it's Dr. Phlox, which allows you to disable all your disabled cards?
Oh, no, that's only crew.
Oh, that's only crew?
That's only crew. Yeah, that's only crew, unfortunately. But I don't have the EMH in from me. I don't remember if it was just tech or if it was tech and weapons. I don't have my box in front of me. I'd have to look it up. Now that's something I'm going to write a note down and look it up after the show.
Well, that's an awesome card right there.
Yeah, I totally missed that bottom text when I was looking at it before I shipped it to you.
Now, the next card that I have in this particular set, and again, anybody that's listening that wants to call, we already gave away our prize, but you're welcome to call and chat with us, 646-668-2433. I'm still trying to get the chat room open, and I'm still having no luck, so it looks like we're going to be without a chat tonight, unfortunately. Let me try right now. Nope, still no chat. BlogTalkRadio.com is temporarily unavailable and too busy. Please try again. So, unfortunately, it doesn't look like it's going to happen. I'll keep trying. Once again, 646-668-2433 if you want to give us a call. Maybe
please
I can
hang out with us.
Out. yeah, I might have something I can send you. I might have some fleet captain's cards or
yeah, we got some cards. I'm sure you may not get a
yeah,
ship,
I've
but
got,
if you need fleet
yeah.
captains or we still got flagships.
And we have some flagships, yes.
There yep. you go. So if you call, you're going to get something.
You'll get something for calling. You won't get a Vortavor like our last caller from the UK did, but you'll get something. So that number is 646-668-2433. And the next card that's in the alternate Enterprise is Quantum Torpedoes. And I believe this is the same as the regular ones. It's a weapon slot. It's an alternate universe. It costs 6 points, does 5 damage at a range of 2 to 3. Spend your target lock and disable this card to perform this attack. If the target ship is hit, add 1. Damage to the total damage. You may fire this from your forward and rear arc. I think that's the standard quantum torpedo.
Yeah, but something I did want to point out before I forget, when we were going over the cards, I don't know if you noticed, but the alternate D has 3 weapon slots in its bar. I think that is more attack points than a standard D, or no, more attack or secondary weapons than a the standard D, so this one looks like it's straight set up for more combat-oriented and less let's go hang out with aliens oriented. I'm pulling up my box right now.
This is definitely the Battleship Enterprise. No doubt about it. This ship is made to fight. So it's a pretty good ship. Now the model, before we get going, I wanted to tell you I took a close look at the model. I had it here sitting on my computer for a couple days since you sent it. I tried to make a video for the Facebook page, but my iPhone made it in some weird format that my computer didn't recognize, and the videos came out sideways, and I couldn't flip them over, and I was having all kinds of trouble. So we'll have to try it again. But this particular model, it looks like it's just the same model that came in the starter set, only it has some black, I want to call them damage, on this top and bottom of the saucer section. So
it's actually Borg gridding.
Yeah. Technically, it's Borg gridding is what it actually is. You could theoretically take an Enterprise from the starter set and a black Sharpie and do the same thing to it and have a model to use as the alternate Enterprise. You know, you can always do that. What I'm doing, I scanned all these cards, and I'm going to print them off at home, and I'm going to use my Enterprise D from my second starter set for this particular ship. That's what I'm going to do.
You're going to print out the cards, yeah? Mm-hmm.
I scanned them on the highest scan setting I can get, so they're top quality. I'll print them on Kodak photo paper, and I'll put them in colored card sleeves, and I'll use them when I play at home because I can't afford $100 to buy this sucker off eBay. And, you know, I don't think it would be fair for me to buy a ticket for my own raffle. So that's what I did. But I have the scans here. I will post them on the Facebook page so that anybody can print them and use them at home.
I got the original D in my hand, and it is 3 crew and 2 secondary weapons compared to 2 crew and 3 secondary weapons on that one.
Yeah, so that's got an extra weapon slot, so yeah.
And one less crew, yeah.
And one less crew.
Yep.
The other card that comes in this particular set is of interest to me. Like I said, I didn't worry about any of the Borg because I'm not interested in the Borg, so is the elite upgrade talent for your captain. And that's called We Won't Go Back! And that's 5 points. And that's what Captain Riker yelled at the end of the episode, Parallels. The Borg are everywhere. And this particular card says, if your ship, its captain, or any of its upgrades are targeted by an upgrade on an enemy ship, you may discard this card before that upgrade takes effect to immediately make one free attack against that ship, if possible. If the enemy ship is destroyed by this free attack, the enemy upgrade does not take effect.
Yeah, I like that card too. So, yeah, basically what it's saying is if somebody targets something on your vessel, you can immediately shoot him before the effect takes place. If he's destroyed, the effect doesn't happen. If he's not destroyed, the effect still does happen, but it's basically giving you a free attack. Because it does not say that you lose your primary. So you ultimately could get 2 attacks in one round just with this card.
Yes, and this is a elite talent for your captain. It is a discard, so you can only use it once. But that extra attack might be all you need to finish off your opponent.
This is a good one to use for the hidden talent. The ability to hide your talents, I think it's, Kirk, I think it is? It gives you 2 talents, and they're both hidden underneath them? This is a good one.
Yeah, Captain Kirk from the TOS Enterprise.
Yeah, this would be a good one. Yeah, I like that.
So that's another one. Let's see, what else do I have here that I wanted?
The Worf.
I'm opening that right now. The other one was, he's big, was Worf. And he's a crew upgrade. He costs 4 points. Of course, we're still in the alternate universe, so we still have the Terran Empire If you inflict at least one damage, normal or critical, to an enemy ship during the deal damage step of the combat phase, you may discard this card to inflict one additional normal damage to that ship. I don't know.
One additional damage? I've come across a situation where there's only been one damage left on something. And, I mean, I played at home, and me and my wife and a friend of mine were playing, or my brother, I think it was, and they beat me up and got me one down to one, and I escaped. And ultimately, I turned around and won against two other people. It was really sad. They kind of cried about it. So there's been situations where this card here would have won somebody the game other than myself.
Yeah, so, you know, there's that. And, of course, the other card is Captain William T. Riker. He's a captain skill of 7. He has 1 elite talent, so you could put We Won't Go Back on him. He costs 4 points. And basically what he said, let me see if we can get back in the chat room. Nope, no chat room. Basically it says, each time you perform a battle stations, an evade, or a target lock action, place one additional token of the appropriate type on this card. During the activation phase, you may spend one token from this card and perform the corresponding action as a free action. That's awesome.
He is basically an action pool. You get to store actions on him, and it doesn't say you have to. It says each time you perform, says on this card, during the activation phase, you may spend one token. Doesn't say you have to, so you can pull them up for extra, you know, pull them up. And it does not say, oh no, it's a free action, so you still would lose it if you had a aux token. Okay, for a minute there, I was like, wow, could you use this even with an aux token? Taking off this pool, but yeah, it's free action, so oh well. Strike that.
And I don't think it stacks itself. I don't think. If you take, for instance, if you take an evade off of him and use it, I don't think you get another evade because you used an evade. I don't think.
No, if you take off here, you don't get to replace it. Only your standard ship's action gets a stack on this.
Each time you perform an action, place one additional token of the appropriate type on this card. Each time you perform an action, during the attack activation phase, you may spend one token from this card and perform that action.
Ooh.
So if I'm reading this correctly, Dan, once you perform an action with this card and put the token on this card, you get that action for free for the rest of the game.
No, you have to pull it off this card and place it on the table.
Right. Each time you perform that action, you place a token on this card. So you pull an evade off this card and put it on the table and use it. As soon as you use it, you get to put a token on the card. So he's a self-regenerating card. Place one additional token of the appropriate type on this card. During the activation phase, you may spend one token from this card and perform the corresponding action as a free action. And then at the top it says, each time you perform an action, place one additional token.
That's interesting. We'll see how that plays out. It might work that way. The other thing I saw was, it says during your activation phase. So, yeah, okay. So I'm thinking, you're able to move, and then after you move, you do your normal action, and you can reevaluate your situation and pull the one you want off this card too. So you get to declare it after your movement. That's kind of good too. So,
Right. So you could have 2 evades or 2 battle stations.
Yeah, and that's actually advantageous to have him a 7 instead of a higher rank, because if you're facing 9 captains, you want them to go first so you know which one of these to pull off the card versus if you moved. Oh, yeah. If you moved Oh, no, it only works for lower captains. See, it's been so long since I played now. It's been 2-3 weeks. My brain's starting to go mush. So continue on. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I like this Riker much better than the original Riker.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I do, and that's all the cards that I have chosen to keep from this particular set. Like I said, I'm not interested in the Borg, so I don't play the Borg, so I didn't scan any of the Borg cards because I have no need for them.
Well, we have a copy of them on the picture page, so I'm reading our picture page right now. They are on there. So
if you want to go over the Borg upgrades that come with this particular set.
Yeah, I can do it real quick because it's not super deep thought in it because I don't play Borg, but I'll call them out and give a basic idea, I think, where they're going with it. So obviously we're going to need a drone captain if we use it in the drone the Borg version. So that's pretty standard. At the start of the game, place one drone token on this card. So your drone captain is not real high on his captain skill. Of course, that might be the cheap captain. I haven't looked at the named captain yet. The Borg ship has a 5154 stat. Okay, the Borg version of Enterprise D, and the action is spend one drone token to repair damage to your hull or shields. So that's kind of advantageous. The whole fixing of the ship is definitely advantageous in this because it is not as stout as most of your Borg ships are. It's actually, compared to a cube or even a sphere, it's not as stiff. It'll absorb some damage, but nowhere near as much as the other one. So having that repairability is advantageous. Going to the other one, it looks like we have all the cards on here. I'm not seeing a named captain. So if there is one, I apologize. I don't see it in our scan list. The other weapon that's here is regenerative sequences. That is Borg. Whenever one of your upgrades is discarded, repair one damage to your hull. So anything that attacks your upgrades repairs your ship. And the other half of it is, or you may discard this card and spend one Droken to repair up to two damage to your hull. So this actually has two ways to repair your ship. That's kind of interesting. And then there's a biogenic charge. It says spend your target lock and discard this card to perform this attack. In addition to normal damage, the opposing ship must discard one of its crew upgrades of its choice for each damage you inflict. Wow. That basically chew through crew upgrades on an enemy ship. Sorry, the text is pretty small, what I'm looking at. If each damage you inflict to the ship's hull with this attack, max of two. Okay, so it's only two. Add one token to your captain card for each crew upgrade that is discarded with this attack. You cannot exceed your starting number of drone tokens. So right off the bat, if I'm going to have this thing and run it with Borg, I'm probably going to use another Borg captain off another ship. Because I don't know if you got the cards open or not, but I only see one drone captain on this thing.
Yeah, it just came with just the one.
Okay, so you're going to have to use another one. So it has a lot of capability, but it's definitely not a Borg like super ship. It has ability to be a good Borg ship. You just can't use it, or you're not super effective as just using the expansion cards. So it's definitely need a cube or a sphere captain to probably put this one over the top. But definitely with the biogenic charge for Borg players, that's going to be pretty tasty. And if I don't know if you noticed, but the biogenic charge is also Terran Empire. And it's got a roll of 7 dice. So you don't have to be Borg to use this biogenic charge.
That's right. It's dual faction.
Yep. So that is a serious, between fire all weapons not being discarded and biogenic charge being a Terran, and then having quantum torpedoes, which is not super unique. I mean, it's just quantum torpedoes. But once you chew up that biogenic charge, you still have a lot of firepower on this ship. That is a lot of firepower. Plus a standard roll of 5 attack dice.
6 if you disable one of your shields.
What's that?
6 if you disable one of your shields.
Yeah, so 6, yeah. This is a pretty stout ship. Hopefully people that win it in my area, keep it in the box because I don't want to face it.
I think the Terran Empire is going to be a force to be reckoned with.
Well, yeah, especially with the ISS Defiant, and if they're going not with the standard protocol, because it's a little bit different, you know, but if they go with the purpose of the Terran Empire is a more aggressive race, maybe we'll get a Defiant that is actually more in line with the Defiant's canon abilities, because I think we discussed this before, the Defiant is actually a lot weaker than canon portrays it as. I mean, 3 when it's about as powerful as an Enterprise D is. So hopefully we'll see when it's a little stronger.
Yeah, you know, our next week's show, we're going to talk about fleet resources. I know we have a lot of new players, like the gentleman who's called us from the UK. He's been playing for a couple weeks. People may not be aware of all the different fleet resources that are out there and what they do. So we're going to go over each and every fleet resource for you guys. And I think at that particular point in time is a good time to talk about ways that this game could be improved. Minor improvements, major improvements. One of the things that I think needs to be changed, just because we're talking about it right now, is the Romulan plasma torpedo. Oh, we've only seen the Romulan plasma torpedo used once on Star Trek, and that was in the Balance of Terror episode of the original Star Trek. That plasma torpedo completely destroyed an entire outpost that was 10 miles deep on an asteroid, annihilated it with one shot, almost took out the Enterprise with one shot as well. The plasma torpedo that we see in the game is a total joke. Wouldn't you agree, Dan?
Say that last part again, because I was reading our posts from the guy that called in.
I think that the plasma torpedo should only be able to be used on the Romulan Bird of Prey, and I think that I still can't get the chat room open, guys. I'm sorry. I think that the Romulan plasma torpedo should be a lot more powerful, and there should be more penalty involved in it for making it more powerful. I think it should be 10 points, like the transphasic torpedoes.
Mm. Well, I mean, for the points, I mean, should it be more powerful than what it's in the game? Probably. But for the level they have it at, the cost we use it, it's basically their versions of torpedoes in the game. So the cost that they're using is not too excessive. Now, whether it should have been more powerful with a more of a cost for the game, yeah, probably, because it is a stronger weapon. I know that plasma torpedoes were supposed to basically knock out most of the shield arc that they hit in the first shot, versus being absorbed somewhat. So, yeah. But, you know, there's several things I think we discussed that we said that should be changed. And it is just, we just got to wait and see where it goes. I mean, it may not get changed, but we always have hopes. Things can be changed.
Yeah, I think we have to have a Star Trek Attack Wing 2.0, and we can talk about that next week. In greater detail, but at any rate, unless anybody has any questions about the Assimilated Target Prime, which is our raffle ship for this week, so you can go right on the Facebook page and get a ticket for that if you're interested. We are only going to have 40 available. Once they're sold, the raffle will close regardless of what time it is, so bear that in mind. Our number here is 646-668-2433, and we will make it worth your while if you call. We'll send you some Fleet Captains, or we'll find something in the box to send you. So that's 646-668-2433. I still can't get the chat room open, unfortunately. So with that, we're going to move on to our second segment, which is going to be Star Trek II, The Wrath of Khan.
Are we going to cover Stargazer later?
I forgot the Stargazer. You're right. I don't have those Stargazer cards. Do you have those?
Yeah, I have them out. It'll be pretty quick because there's not a bunch of cards in here. It's actually only got 9 cards, and that includes the General Captain and the movement cards. So what we got is a Stargazer. Those of you who haven't seen it, is a 3-1-4-3 ship. So that's a 3 attack, 1 agility or defense or maneuver, how you want to call it. 4 hull and 3 shields. It's supposed to be in line with similar to the original series because the frame that they, in lore, the frame is pretty old. It's like late generation, the original series type of ship. If you haven't seen the model, I will warn you ahead of time. and Jim called me on this, and he goes, "What is wrong with this model?" The model is not, I repeat, not much bigger than the Tiny Prize. It's about another 15 or 20% larger than Tiny Prize. It is actually smaller than the base. So that means it is like the second smallest ship in the game right now. It's about the same size as some of your scout vessels are for the Romulans. Okay? So just as a heads up. The Stargazer's named ability is, during the activation phase, you may disable one of your active shields to remove an aux token from beside your ship. So you kind of have the ability of removing auxes immediately, because that's during the activation phase. So you can move, take an aux maneuver, disable a shield, okay, and take that aux off, because it is in the activation phase. That's pretty handy. However, it only has 3 shields. So don't get too excited. Taking a shield off is taking 33% of your shields away. The maneuver dial is quite similar to Federation. It's got a 4 straight as its farthest. It is a white. It has up to two straight green. Okay, it does have hard right and hard left in 2, but the 3 is an aux. And then you have a bank left and bank right from 1 to 3. But unlike some of the ships of this size, it does have a all-back 1. So it has some maneuverability compared to other ships of its size, but it's nothing surprising. Your captain on this one is our favorite captain for most of us, except for me. I prefer Avery Brooks. But, hey, it's John Luke. Most people love him. And he is only a 6 because he's supposed to be his junior self, his less experienced self. But he's a captain rank of 6. He does come with an elite, though. And when he is on your ship, he adds 1 additional crew slot. The ship only comes with 1 crew, so putting him on the ship gives you a 2nd. The Stargazer doesn't have a bunch of slots. It has 1 crew, 1 secondary, and 1 tech. The captain is on action, so you can use an action on him. It says disable all your remaining shield, immediately perform an additional green or white maneuver. So he does have the ability to give it a little bit more maneuverability, and it says perform a green or white maneuver. This thing has white out to bank left and bank right to 3, and then hard left and hard right to 2. So that's pretty good. You can go 4, disable him, and then go another 2 straight. So that gives you the ability to do 6. Okay, let's see, the Picard maneuver. This is the card that this card in Tactical Station is the one everybody's been itching for. But the Picard maneuver is, if you perform a straight 3, a straight 4, or a straight 5 maneuver this round, discard this card and immediately perform an additional straight 5 maneuver. OK, Okay, place an auxiliary token beside your ship, and all attacks against your ship this round are negative 4 attack die. So this gives you the ability to move 9 straight.
I don't give a shit what you want.
Okay, this ship has the ability, so with this here, the ships give the ability to go straight 9. And it gets a defensive bonus of negative 4. So that's a card I think that's a lot of people are going to want. We have Jack Crusher. It's during the modified defense die step of this combat phase, you may discard this card and spend one evade token to get 2 evade tokens. So Jack Crusher is an expendable card, okay, and he just gives you doubled up evade tokens. It's kind of funny that in the game they give him, they basically put him in the game like they put him in canon, expendable. We have secondary impulse reactor. During the activation phase, if you reveal a red maneuver and you have an auxiliary power token beside your ship, you may disable this card to perform the maneuver with no penalty. Okay, so in case you got that, if you have a auxiliary power token next to your ship with a secondary impulse reactor, you can still do a red maneuver with this card. You just have to disable it. So that's a pretty good card if you're in a situation where you have to do a hard turn and then turn around and have to do another hard turn to get into a firing arc. That's actually pretty good advantage. And it's only a one-point card. So with 1 point, if you have a good tech, a good ship with a lot of tech, it's worst thing that happens is you don't use it. The best thing that happens is you use it when you absolutely need it. So I'm willing to spend a point. And here's the one that's given everybody a problem. And I apologize ahead of time. I don't know the combination that everybody keeps talking about with this tactical station. Okay, I don't think I have the cards that they're discussing, and I'm not sure you can do it if you're in a pure game environment. So in other words, if you're doing a tournament and your ship has to stay pure to its faction, I don't think you can do it because I think the cards they're talking about are Romulan or Klingon. And unfortunately, we don't have the chat up, or we would have probably Delta Angel Flyer right now yelling at the screen going, "Dan, you're an idiot. This is the combination." So if you're listening, Delta, sorry, man. But the tactical station is, put the tactical station on your ship, add one additional secondary weapon upgrade slot to your upgrade bar. Okay, when attacking, you may disable this card to gain a +1 attack die until end of phase. Or when attacking, you may discard this card to gain +2 attack die until end of phase. So this way, this card here is going to give you the ability to pump up the attack of your ships. Being a Federation ship, I would love to put this on Voyager or another ship to give me, even push me over the top with damage. I know this is the other card everybody's seeking for to give you that extra weapon abilities. I think it's for an OP ship, it's a pretty good OP ship. It doesn't have a bunch of cards compared to some of the other ones they've left out. However, the support cards you get with the secondary impulse, the tactical station, and the Picard maneuver on other Federation ships will be phenomenal. And that's my take on it. Anything to add to that, Mr. Jim, sir?
Yes, the Klingon attack song.
I like hanging out with you. You're crazy.
You gotta love it. It's one of my favorite songs. Anyways, I had to sneak it in there. I was gonna play it when I was talking about Worf, but I couldn't find it on my list in time to play it. Yeah, the Stargazer is not a do-all or die ship. It's got some good cards. It's the model leaves much to be desired, kind of like Tiny Prize. But any Star Trek fan would want to have the Stargazer simply because that's the ship that Captain Picard was in command of for over 20 years prior to becoming captain of the Enterprise. So in Star Trek lore, it's a, you know, important ship. Once again, the number here is 646-668-2433 if anybody wants to call in and chat with us. We have a little over half an hour to go, and the next topic that we're going to talk about is Star Trek II, The Wrath of Khan. And for those of you who may not know about Star Trek II, The Wrath of Khan, although if you're listening to this show or you're in the chat room and you don't know about Star Trek II, The Wrath of Khan, then I think it's time to hang it up and go home. But at any rate, I am going to play the original trailer for Star Trek II, The Wrath of Khan, so sit back and enjoy that. And then immediately following that, Dan and I are going to jump right into it, so enjoy.
Beyond the darkness, beyond the human evolution, is Khan, a genetically superior tyrant. Exiled to a barren planet, banished by a starship commander he is destined to destroy. Left for dead, he has survived.
I'll chase him around the moons of Nibia and round the Antares maelstrom and round perdition's flames before I give him up. There she is. There she is.
Shield's collapsing, Captain.
Can you evade their power?
A few shots, sir.
Not enough against their shields.
The base is stubborn.
I need warp speed in 3 minutes or we're all dead.
I've done far worse than kill you. I've hurt you. And I wish to go on hurting you. I shall leave you as you left me. Marooned for all eternity. Buried alive. Buried alive.
Sean! Sean!
At the end of the universe lies the beginning of vengeance. Star Trek II, The Wrath of Khan.
So, there you have it. The original Star Trek II, The Wrath of Khan movie trailer. Do you remember seeing that, Dan?
Oh, I can't say I remember seeing it in the theaters. Again, at that time, I was 7, so that's a pretty long time ago for me. But I'm pretty sure I did. That was, you know, my dad probably, dad love show. So I'm pretty sure I did. I just don't remember it.
Yeah, Star Trek II, The Wrath of Khan was the first Star Trek movie I saw in the movie theater. I skipped the motion picture, as I said, in favor of Star Wars. But I did go to see The Wrath of Khan, and I loved it. The number to call is 646-668-2433 if you'd like to join us and share your thoughts and memories of Star Trek II, The Wrath of Khan. A lot of Star Trek fans, myself included, regard this as one of the best Star Trek movies ever made. And Dan and I are going to try to get to the bottom of why that is. For me, I think the fact that they cast Ricardo Montalban to play Khan, whom played the original Khan in the space seat episode of the original series, 25 years earlier?
Yeah, something like that, 67 to 82. Yeah, that would be, no, it wouldn't have been 20 years. 67 to 82 would only be about 15.
Okay, well, he played him a long time ago.
Yes.
And it wasn't in a galaxy far, far away. It was in the same galaxy. You know, I'm glad that they used Khan, Ricardo Montalban, to reprise the same character. They were thinking about recasting him. I'm so glad they didn't, because part of the attraction to this particular movie is the fact that it reaffirms the events that happened in the original Star Trek. I mean, this comes right out of it. I mean, Captain Kirk finds a sleeper ship floating around in outer space. They wake them up. They try to take over the ship. He maroons them on a planet and flies away. And then 15 years later or whatever it is, they come across these people and they're pissed. I mean, pretty much that's what happens. So the fact that it is Ricardo Montalban reprising the role of Khan makes it that much better. Another thing that really makes this particular movie one of my favorites is that this isn't a save the galaxy, save the world, save the universe movie like so many of the other ones. This is a personal vendetta between Kirk and Khan. I mean, Khan is interested in one thing. He wants to hurt Kirk. He wants to go on hurting Kirk. And, you know, this makes the movie personal. The fact that they throw Carol Marcus in, who was not mentioned by name, but her character was referenced on the original Star Trek as well. And then to find out that Kirk has a son, you know, these were big revelations at the time. And it just goes to make the movie more personal. Another thing about this movie that really stands out for me is the Spock character. He kind of comes full circle in this movie, where he's teaching at the academy now, and he has his own cadets. And Christy Alley, playing Lieutenant Savick, is training to be a commander. And Spock is almost human-like in his pride of Savick. And the scene where he lets her take the ship out of space dock, and McCoy is standing with Kirk behind him, and, you know, he's like, do you need a sedative? And Kirk just can't believe what's going on here. And I think Star Trek II is when the Spock character really jumped to life and became more multidimensional than just this emotionless character that he was in the TV show. Not that he was bad on the TV show, but in Star Trek II, The Wrath of Khan, he really grew into the character that, you know, we would all love. Another thing that about this movie that I just thought was phenomenal was the death of Spock. Unheard of. I mean, the whole scene where Spock dies, where he goes into the chamber and dies to save the ship, and Kirk comes down and finds him there, and that whole sequence with, you know, facing death and the Kobayashi Maru and so on and so forth was so written so well and acted so well and played so well that when you went to see this movie and you were sitting in the theater, if it didn't make a little moisture in your eye, then you had to be an android.
I seen a poll once that said the 10 top, or, you know, the 10 movies that made guys cry, and I think this one was number 2 or number 3 on the list for that poll, and it was a poll of a few thousand votes. So that impressed me.
It was a very well, and of course Nicholas Meyer is the awesome director of this movie, and of course he went on to do Star Trek IV and Star Trek VI as well.
Both good movies.
So we give him some credit where credit is due. So what were your thoughts on Star Trek II: The Wrath of Khan?
I think I have a tie. 6 and 2 are probably my favorites, and depending on what day it is, one is the top and the other one is the second, because I just like the personal interaction between the crew, the action orientation overall of the two movies, but we'll stick with this one here. The difference between Spock and the first movie and Spock in the second movie, I wouldn't say it's night and day. I would say it's more like a 20-watt or 30-watt bulb versus a 100-watt bulb. He's almost a different character. And because of the way his personality, I want to say, expanded, because he had that personality in the series. I don't know why it was so flat in the first movie. But his personality and the interaction he has with the rest of the crew, you know, maybe semi-emotionless, but us as humans, or us as humans in relation, I think, touched with him more in this movie because he wasn't so dry. He had that angles of stuff where friendship could be, you know, that friendship was established to beyond that point. When it was, you know, in the first movie, they had Decker where Kirk came on and he's like, "You took my ship from me. You took my ship from me, and you're a meanie, and you did this to me." This one here, he comes aboard, and the situation happens, and he looks at him and says, "You know, I have no ego to hurt." And in a way, he basically says, "You know, you're my friend. If this situation you think is better for you to handle, it doesn't bother me. I don't take it offensive." And it just established the care and the concern and the friendship between them. And then, of course, you throw McCoy in there in the triangle of that little triangle they have, and it's just amazing. The bickering and the bantering, it establishes that connection with Spock you have. So that's what makes the end so emotional.
And another thing that was very good about this movie, now there's two versions of this movie, for those of you that aren't aware of that. There's the original theatrical version, and then there was the television version. Now the television version is slightly different than the theatrical version. Not major, but there's, I want to say, maybe 5 minutes, 6 minutes of extra footage in the TV version that wasn't shown in the theatrical version. Now, none of them are really major differences, okay? But the big difference is when Admiral Kirk comes aboard the Enterprise to perform an inspection, he goes down into the engine room, and Scotty is down there, and he walks up to one of the cadets and starts talking to the cadet. That cadet happens to be Scotty's nephew. And in the theatrical version, they cut it. When Admiral Kirk walks up to the cadet, walks up behind the cadet, they cut it. But in the TV version, when Admiral Kirk walks up to that cadet, they have a transaction, and they have a little conversation. And Scotty can be seen in the background beaming with pride because this is his nephew. This is the same guy that dies later on in the movie where Scotty brings his body into McCoy. And that little scene with Kirk in the engine room really brings that character to life so that his death scene has more meaning at the end. It gives the Scotty character more background.
Yeah, I did not know that until I was reading some of the background and stuff like that. They're like, "Oh, yeah, that was his nephew." And I'm like, because I don't usually watch it on TV because I have the DVD. Why do I go through commercials? It kind of tears it apart in my book. But now that I know that, after reading, yeah, it takes a whole nother aspect. I think it later on, you know, we don't want to talk about the other movies. We'll get to those. But later on, his attachment to that ship, you know, Scotty's attachment to that ship seems even more attached. And it kind of goes back to that, you know, not only is he the chief engineer, but family and friends have died on that thing in situations, so I think it even makes him more attached, and that makes sense now that I know that point.
Yeah, and I don't know why Paramount has not released the full version of that movie. There's a couple other minor scenes that are... Stop it. Stop it now. Do you hear me? Stop it. Good girl. Go lay down. There's a couple other scenes. my dog has decided to jump on my chest and chew on the phone here while we're trying to talk. There's another scene which, when I mention it to you, you probably will notice what I'm talking about, but you probably never noticed it before. Maybe a sharp person may have. But the battle in the Mutara Nebula is a little bit different than what we see in the movie theater. The scene where the Enterprise comes up behind the Reliant and blows off the warp engine. Now, I don't know if you recall that particular scene, but that particular scene, Chekhov is sitting at the weapons console, and Captain Kirk says, fire. And you see Chekhov's hand on the control button for the photon torpedoes, and he pushes the button and fires the torpedoes. However, when they show the exterior shot of the Enterprise, you will see the phasers fire, and you'll see the warp engine explode, and you won't see the torpedoes fire. And it's like, well, they just made a mistake in the movie, and I never really thought much about it. But in the extended edition, in the TV edition, there's a whole volley of torpedoes that Chekhov launches at the Defiant, Reliant, before Kirk orders the phaser strike, which disables the ship. Minor, but there.
Hey, more shiny and more explosions makes a better movie in my book.
And another thing about Star Trek II that I think a lot of people really, really liked about this particular movie, in Star Trek, we hadn't seen space combat quite like this before. Two massive starships. On the original series, when they had a battle, you'd see the Klingon ship over there, you'd see a light flash, you'd see a flicker, the Enterprise would fire, you'd see the phasers, you'd see a flicker, and then Sulu would say, oh, we've damaged their forward shields, they're limping away, and that would be the battle. We never actually saw a battle. Well, with Star Wars out there and all these other science fiction movies that were flying around, Paramount really had to make a splash with this next movie. Especially after the Star Trek The Motion Picture. They really wanted to make a splash. This movie did it perfectly. We got to see the Enterprise. We got to see the Reliant. We got to see these massive battles with these massive ships. And you really felt like you were watching. It was more like a battle at sea with two clipper ships is the way I think of it. They come up next to each other. They fire their cannons. They duel it out. They swing around. They come back, and they do it again. It was very, very well done. Also, we talked about this last week, Star Trek II, The Wrath of Khan, introduced all the new technology that would stay with Star Trek through all the following movies. The new uniforms, the new phasers, the new technology that they had, the flip communicators versus the wrist communicators, you know, all those things that have been so identified with Star Trek came in Star Trek II, The Wrath of Khan.
Yeah, and something that one of our fans pointed out that I never really thought about. You know, I'm a semi science guy doing what I do for a living and what I did for a living. You know, I like little tidbits here and there, and I have some knowledge about the sciences that they try to use in Star Trek, where the big dishes on the front are mounted to the ship because they're supposed to be giant plows, and what it does is it plows micrometeorites away so that warp speed, you don't put a hole through your ship instantly, or at high impulse, you don't put a ship through hole through your ship instantly as the thing passes through. I thought that, oh, okay, yeah, I got that. Somebody pointed out, oh, yeah, by the way, it's the only ship, or not the only ship, but it's one of the few ships we see that doesn't have a deflector dish. So how does it go through space without getting holes in it? And for some reason, I've watched Star Trek since I was, you know, big enough to walk. That's about it. Okay, I was just big enough to walk. I've been watching Star Trek for that long. I've watched Wrath of Khan from the first day it came out with repetitions on VHS, DVD, Blu-ray. I had it on Laserdisc, okay? And out of all the times I've seen it, and I'd say 50 times, I never once realized the damn Reliant doesn't have a deflector dish. I was like, what? Who's observant now?
Well, I believe, and you know what, I think we're going to have to go back. I think we jumped the shark a little bit here. We really need to talk about Star Trek The Cage, because that technically was the very first Star Trek episode. We'll have to go back and talk about that one. And watch that one. But I believe that the starships have they have shields, and then they have what's the other, I wish the chat room was open now. I think they have shields and they have defensive.
They have defense fields.
They have defense fields and they have shields.
Right. Defense fields are basically energy envelopes that surround immediately around the ship at almost at a skin level to deal with, and it cuts, supposed to cut out some of the radiation and a couple other things. But even, so that's what they're supposed to be. And I see what you're going with this, that they're supposed to be helping with the meteorite strikes and stuff like that. But, yeah. But, I mean, I don't know if you ever noticed that, but, yeah.
Klingon ships don't have, none of the other ships have them.
Correct.
Romulan ships don't have them.
Correct.
So
and
I'm thinking
is,
that...
And that's one of the, yeah, that's one of the reasons I wish they'd have another series out that isn't totally surrounded around, you know, the Federation. I'd like to see some of the, you know, if you can't make a whole series off of the cool technology used for Romulan ships or something like that. But another aspect to go, you know, over lore and stuff like that would be pretty cool. But that's another conversation.
But I think that Star Trek II, The Wrath of Khan, was the Star Trek that people had been screaming for since the TV series.
Totally.
You had the relationships with all the characters were there. Bones was his charming one-line self, but battling with Spock over Genesis, you know. God created Earth in 7 days, but watch out, here comes Genesis, we'll do it for you in six. It was just there. It just felt, it felt right. It had the right feel. It flowed really well. And let's not forget something else that we had talked about last week, the soundtrack. The music for Star Trek II, The Wrath of Khan, is just out of this world.
Yeah, and I know you said last week about, you know, the opening sequences, but opening sequence music, the same music used on the first movie being used throughout. As soon as I started watching it, I was like, wait a minute. No, it doesn't, because the opening music for this one is totally different.
Yeah, the opening music for the Wrath of Khan is the Wrath of Khan suite.
Right. No,
trying to. Yes, we do hear the Star Trek fanfare in Star Trek II: The Wrath of Khan.
Right, but it wasn't the opening music.
No, it was not the opening music. Stop it. Go outside. It was not the opening music. In fact, if you hang around and listen to the complete broadcast, you will hear when I end the show, I'm going to end the show with the ending credits from Star Trek II, The Wrath of Khan, and you will hear the Star Trek fanfare, and you will hear something that happened for the first time ever in Star Trek history, and this is the other thing that kind of brings a tear to a grown man's eye when you're sitting in a theater. Here you are, just recovering from the death of Spock. They launch, they have the funeral, they launch the tube, the whole bit. It crashes on the planet. Camera scans over the planet. We see the trees and the rain and everything else. And we hear the Star Trek fanfare start up. We zoom in on the casket, and for the first time ever, we hear Leonard Nimoy reading the monologue. And he says, "Space, the final frontier." And it's Spock saying it, which is the first time anybody other than Kirk said it. If this didn't bring a tear to your eye after just watching the guy die, you had some serious issues. I mean, this movie had everything that you could want or ask for in a movie. And it had a lot of action. It had a lot of character interplay. It was very, very well done. Nicholas Meyers did a phenomenal, outstanding job on Star Trek II, The Wrath of Khan. And even today, whenever we have a poll on the Facebook page, Star Trek II is always right up at the top.
Yeah. Yeah.
Without a doubt.
Yeah,
and
not only
and
is it a good Star Trek movie, it's just a good movie. I mean, you don't have to be into Star Trek to consider it a good movie. I mean, yeah, there's a backstory with the Space Seed episode, But to be honest with you, you get the gist of it after the first few minutes. Kirk marooned me. My wife died. Nobody checked on us. I'm really upset. I'm coming for your butt. And go from there. And it's just a good movie.
And one of the other things that really stood out about this particular movie is the only starships we ever saw in Star Trek was the Enterprise, Federation starship. You know, we saw the original Constitution class on the TV series. We saw other Constitution class ships on the original series. We saw the refit in the motion picture. But here comes the USS Reliant. Oh, my God, that's a completely different starship. There's no engineering section. There's no main hull. It's just a saucer section with a weapons pod and some warp engines hanging on there. That sucker looks mean. What the hell is that? A brand new starship that we have, something we've never seen before. And
well,
you throw that into this. Yep.
Yep. Remember, there was one more other ship in there, though, other than the Reliant. That was a new class. Remember, we opened with the Oberth. Remember the very first combat scene? There was an Oberth class science vessel.
Oh, that was Star Trek 3. Yeah.
Oh man, I could have swore it was. See, there goes my Star Trek cred. Okay, everybody's gonna call for my dismissal. Sorry, guys.
No, that's because Star Trek 2 and Star Trek 3 and Star Trek 4 are kind of one giant story arc. They don't end.
Man.
You know, Star Trek 2 ends with the casket on Genesis. Star Trek 3 starts with the science ship at Genesis. So you could edit those two movies together and just continue on. And then Star Trek 3 ends with them, you know, getting the Enterprise and whatnot and going back to Earth. They're on their way back. And
right.
They take off. So you could edit Star Trek 2, Star Trek 3, and Star Trek 4, cut out all the credits, a little bit of editing, and have one huge six-hour Star Trek movie.
Yeah, I failed. I will pause myself for 5 minutes. Go ahead.
I mean, the only difference you would notice is that Savick changes from Christy Alley to Robin Curtis. Because
boo.
Christy Alley didn't, you know, she didn't want to come back and do it again.
Boo.
Just a little sidebar on the Savick character. I think the Savick character was greatly abused in Star Trek because they introduced her in Star Trek II. They had a great character that could have been used, but wasn't. Was left behind. And they flew away without her. If you read the book for Star Trek IV, and generally, I don't do this. Generally, I will go and see a movie, and then if the movie hit me, and I really cared enough, I will go and read the book of the movie. Because a lot of times, the books are written from the original screenplay before they're edited and changed and made into a full movie. So there'll be extra, what I would call deleted scenes and things in the book that aren't in the movie. If you went back and you read the book of Star Trek IV, you will have found out that the reason why Savick stayed behind on Vulcan is because when she was on Genesis ponfaring with Spock, she got knocked up. And she stayed behind on Vulcan to have Spock's child, and that's why she stayed with Spock's parents on Vulcan in the book. They never get back to this ever again. It's never mentioned. Savick is just left, and that's it, the end of it. But in the book.
Well, here's the thing. My 5 minutes isn't up, but I got to interject at this one point. You know, we're still talking about Savick. We'll do a touch on something that's outside 2, but we'll come back to 2 real quick. Because the movie didn't relay that in Star Trek 4, okay, Star Trek 6 was supposed to have Savick in place of the character they used, which Kim Cattrall was starred as. That was actually supposed to be Savick. She was supposed to be, after watching Kirk's son get killed, she got kind of not evil, but she kind of got a little crazy, and she was the one that was supposed to be conspiring to kill Klingons. That was supposed to be Savick.
Oh, yeah.
So.
Yes. And if you read the novel for Star Trek IV, you also would know that still no chat, guys. It doesn't look like we're going to have one tonight. I apologize. I still can't get it to connect. If you read the novelization for Star Trek IV, or actually Star Trek II, Savick was actually not a Vulcan.
Oh,
Savick
really?
was actually a Romulan.
Yeah, I do remember a note somewhere on that. Yes, she was supposed to be a Romulan in place. Yeah.
And which would have really been interesting if they had, because at this particular point in time, Romulans didn't have the forehead ridge.
Oh, so, yeah, the little squaring of their eyebrows areas, yeah.
So there's no way to differentiate a Romulan from a Vulcan. They look exactly the same. There's no way to tell. The Next Generation got that little ridgy thing, but prior to that, there was no way to tell. Had she been a Romulan and not a Vulcan, that really could have added a nice spin to that whole story, having a Romulan in Starfleet. But they chose to omit that little fact.
Yeah. Didn't they lose the ridge in Deep Space Nine? I'd have to look again. I think they did. But that's another story.
The first time we saw the Romulans was in the episode The Neutral Zone of The Next Generation.
Right.
And they showed up, and Tomalak says, "We're back." And I'm trying – there's two Romulans on the screen, and I'm trying to remember if they had ridges. I think they had the little thingies on their eyes.
Yeah, the little ridge line on their eyes, yeah. But
I'd have to look, but I think they did. They were only in the episode briefly, but I think that they did.
Yeah, I watched Deep Space Nine not too long ago. In fact, listened to my podcast, The Gamma Quadrant. They even stated that, you know, okay, so here's the Romulans. Oh, by the way, they lost their little eye ridge that they had in Next Generation. Aha, and then they moved on. So I thought that happened, but could be wrong.
Yeah, and something else, a little sidebar to tie what we're talking about back to the motion picture and to Star Trek The Next Generation. In that episode, The Neutral Zone, where the Romulans made their first appearance, and I got to say, when I was sitting there watching that episode and the Romulan warbird decloaked, I jumped off my couch and I was like, oh, my God, that's the coolest ship ever. I mean, this is the first time we saw the Romulan, the Derridex, and it was awesome.
Yeah.
And in that particular episode, when they said that the outpost had been scooped off the surface of the planet, and the Romulans thought the Federation did it, and the Federation thought the Romulans did it, they left it. They abandoned that storyline and did not come back to it. However, Gene Roddenberry said in an interview that was supposed to be the introduction of the Borg, that the Borg are the ones that stole those outposts. And and they just dropped that theory, which also was the theory behind V'ger, that V'ger crashed on the Borg homeworld, and that's how the Borg knew where Earth was, from V'ger. So that just kind of all ties that stuff together just a little bit.
No. So, yeah. Star Trek II. Yeah, yep, it's got to be tied up there with my favorite, like I said, 6 and 2, depending. 6 is, we'll get to 6 when we get to 6, but I have lots to say about 6. I've watched it probably more than any other Star Trek.
Yes, and for those of you, I mean, I don't know who's listening because the chat room's not up, so I apologize again. Blog Talk Radio owes us one. So I'm assuming you people are listening. I found on the internet they just released the Star Trek Compendium for Star Trek and Star Trek Into Darkness. A lot of the fans were upset because all of the extras were not available. you had to buy one at Target and one at Amazon and one at Walmart, and they had all these different special features that you had to buy all these different, go to all these different stores to get everything. So Paramount has put out the Star Trek Compendium, which is Star Trek and Star Trek Into Darkness with all the available extras and a bonus fourth disc, which has some deleted scenes and blooper reel from Star Trek Into Darkness. Now, if you're like me and you already bought the other two movies, here's another one that you got to buy. However, I found a coupon on the Internet, which I put on the Facebook page. You can print that coupon, send them the UPC code from either Star Trek Into Darkness or the first Star Trek movie, and they will send you a $5 rebate. So if you pick up the movie, the twin pack at Walmart for $33, you'll get a $5 rebate for having the other two movies already. So every little bit helps if you're interested in that. So I wanted to throw that out there for anybody that's
interested. Well, I don't have Into Darkness, so maybe I'll have to go get it now, because I was going, you know what, I should go get Into Darkness. And then, bam, Netflix said, here's Into Darkness for your monthly fee. I was like, aha, why should I spend more money then?
Yeah, I have them both on Blu-ray, but like I said, Into Darkness doesn't have any extras. And I refuse to go to Target and go to Walmart and go to Kmart and go to Amazon just to get all these extras. So I just went and bought the cheapy, I think it was like $19.99, just the movie.
Mm-hmm.
But now they have the one out that's got a whole bonus disc full of deleted scenes, of looper reels, interviews with all the stars, with J.J. Abrams, the director. They have a commentary, all kinds of stuff that was not available before. So if you're into all these extras and all these deleted scenes and commentaries, then this would be the set for you. Generally, I'm against double dipping. It really torques me when studios do this. But for some reason, Paramount couldn't make up their mind what they wanted to do with Into Darkness, because they had all these exclusive agreements with all these different venues. So Walmart got one version of the movie, and Target got a different version of the movie, and Amazon got a different version of the movie, and Best Buy got a different version of the movie. So there's four versions of Star Trek Into Darkness floating around out there. Now, depending on where you bought the movie, would tell which bonus features you got. And I'll be damned if I'm going to buy four versions of the movies just to get all the extras. So I bought the cheapest version I could find, which was $19 at Walmart. Now for $33, you can go to Walmart, get the full four-disc edition, and get a $5 mail-in rebate by printing out the coupon that I put on our Facebook page, if you're interested. So. And also, for all you guys that are listening, Dan took a lot of time to make up this really awesome Star Trek Attack Wing map, which is on our Facebook page. What you need to do is go on the Facebook page and put down your city and state, or your country and city on there. And then Dan is compiling all of them onto this really awesome map. You can click on the map, and you can see where all the other Star Trek Attack Wing players are that are on the Facebook page. And with any luck, you'll see someone near where you are, and you can get together and play the game.
Yep, we actually had some people contacting each other already. And as a side note, I'm thinking about making a database that does something similar. It won't be a map. It'll be a database. And what we'll do is maybe once a week or once a month, I'll ask new players new people have joined, where they're at. And then if you want to be on this list to be a contact, when they say, this is where I'm at, I'll look on our list and see what players live in their area within, I'd say, maybe 50 miles. Anything outside of 50 miles, I might give them to you, but it's up to you, how far you're willing to work with them. And try to get more people to contact each other. Because if we can get people to contact each other, we make, we'll get OP events. People working together, going to a game shop saying, hey, there's five of us here. Let's do an OP event, and then the shops will get into it. So I'm trying to see what we can do to have, area OP or area player contacts to help out organizing groups. So if that's something people are interested in, I'm willing to do that too.
So with that note, we have to end the show. The pretty lady is telling me it's time for us to go. So I want to thank Dan, and I want to thank all of our listeners and our caller from the UK that won the Vortavor. And I'm going to send out the Hideki fighters to you. Don't forget to send me your address. And with that, I'm going to say goodnight, and I'm going to play the ending credits for Star Trek II, The Wrath of Khan. Thanks a lot. Have a good night, and I'll talk to you later, Dan.
Yep. Later, guys.
Captain's log, stardate 8141.6. Starship Enterprise departing for SETI Alpha 5 to pick up the crew of USS Reliant. All is well. And yet I can't help wondering about the friend I leave behind. There are always possibilities, Spock said. And if Genesis is indeed life from death, I must return to this place again.
He's really not dead. As long as we remember him.
It's a far, far better thing I do than I have ever done before. A far better resting place I go to than I've ever known.
Is that a poem?
Hmm. Something Spock was trying to tell me. My birthday.
You okay, Jim? How do you feel?
Go where no man has gone before.